Welcome to this edition of Thy Kingdom Come. Today I want to talk about a subject that may be a bit controversial and not at all the least bit popular. I want to talk about something that I like to call the Gospel of Division. The Gospel of Division. Now I know that a lot of people, a lot of well-intended people, tend to preach about the peace of God, the peace of Christ falling on you and resting and ruling, abiding in your hearts and in your lives. They teach that once you accept Christ, He brings a peace that overcomes all the anxiety and depression that the world can throw your way. And they're 100% correct. But there's another side to accepting Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Once you accept Jesus the Christ to be the ultimate and supreme ruler in your life, you accept the cross that He had to bear. You accept the fact that you are willing to follow a man who was hated, a man who was crucified, a man who was murdered at the hands of people who were so angry with him for no other reason than the fact that he preached a gospel that caused division. The message of Jesus Christ is not this sunshine message that causes you to feel a feeling of euphoria. It is not this message that paints everything through rose-colored lenses. But the message of Jesus Christ is one that causes division. And I know someone out there is saying, wait a minute. Jesus came to unite us together in the spirit of love. He came to pull the church, the house of Israel, all together. And to bind us together at the hearts in the spirit of love and truth. To bring peace in the midst of havoc and chaos in my life. That's the reason that Jesus came. That's His message. My question to you is, which Bible have you been reading? Because all throughout the Bible that I read, it shows stark contradictions. Stark comparisons between those who follow Christ and those who choose to do otherwise. Jesus, all throughout His ministry, consistently and adamantly caused division. He did it intentionally. Think about it for a minute. Now, what I'm saying is not that far-fetched. Think about Jesus and His message. Jesus always talked about the wheat and the tares. He talked about the goats and the sheep. He talked about those who gathered together and those who scattered abroad. He talked about the light and the darkness. Jesus always drew a line in the dirt and forced people to make a decision. And so His message was not popular. His message was not this universal theme that everyone can live together in unity. But indeed and in fact, the message of Jesus Christ forced people to look at their lives and look at the law of God. And make a decision, either I'm willing to live my life according to the Word of God, or I'm willing to live my life fulfilling and gratifying the desires of my flesh. Jesus challenged the thinking and the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. He challenged the expectation of the children of Israel. Because the children of Israel were looking for the great uniter. They were looking for someone to come talking about and promoting their cause. someone behind whom they could gather together and unite their forces and band together in arms and forge a coup and establish a kingdom. But when Jesus came, he came and he disproved everything that they thought about him. He came with a message that forced them to make a decision. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. That's division. Listen to what he tells his disciples in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter and the 34th verse. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own house. Jesus is telling his disciples that although everyone is expecting me to come and unite mankind, I tell you that I have come to divide them. I've come with a message that ye who are holy should be separate and should come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. Wash your hands and repent. Then I will receive you and I will abundantly pardon. He came to teach the message that the children of the light should have nothing to do with the children of darkness. He came to make stark contradictions and to challenge you at the core of your beliefs, your principles, your ideologies, your theology. He came to make you reevaluate your priorities in life. He came to shed light on those things which were not understood and to cause you to see the error of your ways. Jesus told his disciples earlier in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew that a servant can expect no greater treatment than that his teacher or his master has received. Jesus warned them. He said, hey, if they hated me, surely they're going to hate you. Surely they're going to hate you. Now, wait a minute, because I don't see pastors and preachers and evangelists and so-called prophets and apostles and bishops being hated. If they are hated, what they're hated for is because they've been caught up in some kind of scandal, some kind of scheme, some kind of get-rich-quick ministry. But that's not the hatred that Jesus is talking about. What he's talking about is that when you really grasp who I am and what I'm telling you I come to do, then the truth of who I am is going to cause you to separate yourself from everything that you thought you knew. It's going to cause you to take a look back over your life and see the flaws and fallacies in your own thinking. He came with a message that basically said, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. He came with a message that told them basically that all of these people that you see running around preaching what they claim to be the gospel, preaching what they claim to be the word of God, they'll come to me in that day and they'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not lay hands on the sick and heal them in your name? And Jesus said, I'll look at them and I'll say, depart from me, you doer of iniquity, for I never knew you. Now, wait a minute. How can that be? There are imposters out there who's promoting this universal peace, who's preaching this message, who has established these ministries and these mega churches all around the central thought that we can unite the people together and everyone can accept everything. And we can live and abide in harmony and peace. And God will bless us. And He'll keep us. But that is one of the biggest lies being perpetuated in American Christianity. It is poisoning the mind of believers. And it is causing many to fall. Because it is a stumbling block. And it is not of God. The message of Jesus Christ forces people to realize that they are a sinner and they are lost. They're wretched and without hope. And the peace of God only comes after they accept that and they realize that I can only have propitiation or mediation for my sin if I accept Jesus, the Son of God. Now, I can't accept Christ and deny the cross. Jesus said it plainly in Matthew the 10th chapter and the 38th verse. It reads like this. Jesus says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." So Jesus is telling them, if you're going to accept me as your Lord, and you will claim to be a follower of my teaching, then you have to accept the cross. You have to accept the fact that there are some things in you that need to die. There are some parts of you that cannot coexist with my spirit. There are some deeds that you involve yourself with that you can no longer continue in. There are some people who you keep in your company and you will no longer be able to entertain those people if you want to follow me. You have to take up your cross. Now, this message is not as popular as me telling you you can live your best life now. Because according to Jesus, if you live in the abundance of your own heart's desire and you set the course for your life, then you'll lose your life. But if you find your life in me, then you'll start to live and you'll start to live life abundantly. John, the first chapter and the 4th verse says that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. What that's telling you in a nutshell is that you don't even know who you are until you find life in Christ. It's telling you that you can't even see which way you should go. You can't even see the man who's in the mirror unless you find life in Christ. This message, this gospel of Jesus Christ is not a worldwide unity message, but it's a message that challenges you to separate yourself, to bring division, even in a household, to refuse to walk with those who oppose Jesus, to refuse to be named among those who are wicked and idolatrous and murderous and sinful and corrupt and greedy and envious and lustful and prideful, because these are the works of the flesh. And if you be in the spirit, you cannot walk in the flesh. So either you're spirit or you're flesh. Either you're saved or you're lost. Either you're a sheep or you're a goat. either your wheat or your tare. Jesus made it clear that he did not come to bring peace, but he came to turn the world upside down and force those who claimed that they wanted salvation to really analyze and evaluate the cost of so great a salvation. This salvation will cost you your reputation. This salvation will cost you relationships with some of your most intimate friends. This salvation will pit mother against daughter and father against son. This salvation will lead a man who's come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ to condemn the message being preached and perpetuated in pulpits across the world. This message is the gospel of division. As always, I pray that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And remember, be ready, for the king and his kingdom are at hand.